Welcome to the 227th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome. 1 week until Ironman Chattanooga. It's all about the taper now. It's all between the ears now. So I'm ready. Little taper run, some swims, a little easy run, a little speed work, but it's all about showing up to Chattanooga with a hot forecast. Supposed to be 97 degrees next weekend, so glad I'm a Florida girl and used to the heat. But it's going to be even hot for the Florida girl, so we'll have to see how it goes and take it easy. I'll be giving you a recap of my experience, but, you know, again, it's a head game, and what I'm thinking about now is just trying to wrap my head around a long day out playing outside. The 2.4-mile swim, it's a beautiful swim down the Chattanooga River, and I'll be kind of looking back and seeing the bridges. I think there are 5 bridges that we swim under down as we go down the river, and then we get on the bikes and go out into Georgia, out into Chattamauga, and we do 2 loops out there, and you know, my Garmin tells me our splits every 5 miles, so, you know, it's 22 and a little bit 5-mile splits, and then get off the bike and run 26 1-mile repeats and the sprint to the finish line. So just break it down in little sections, just like I talk about breaking everything down, and it makes it much more doable. If you get on the start line and think it's going to be, you know, 13, 14 hours, it's daunting. The swim usually goes pretty fast, but that bike getting on there could be it's a long afternoon riding a bike. So just break it down. I'm just going to break it down to little sections and try to enjoy it. It's a beautiful ride out into the countryside, and hoping it'll just to enjoy the day. Anyway, this week was Game Changers, and I saw the movie at the theater with a lot of the members from the office. We had a really good turnout here in Port Charlotte, and there were a few people that, you know, weren't part of the practice, or some people that weren't part of the practice that were there. Actually, I had somebody join the practice after watching the movie. They were convinced they had a heart issue, and they were convinced that, you know, the traditional way of taking a bunch of medications and keep doing what you're doing is not the way to end up in good health. So I think the movie was a success. I mean, from the statistics that is published, it did really good at the box office. It's going to be released on iTunes the 1st of October, so I think it'll get a lot more traffic there. I think there's a lot of people that would prefer to watch it in the privacy of their own home without anybody knowing that they're watching a movie about plant-based nutrition. So I think that the iTunes version is really gonna take off. One of my favorite parts, which with Dr. Loomis from PCRM talking about, you know, if you eat a whole lot of protein, you can't store glycogen as well, and it kind of takes up space in the cell. So that people that pump in a lot of protein and take in a little bit of glycogen, not only are they taking in less glucose and carbohydrate to start with on a paleo diet, but they're not actually able to store as much. So you run out of speed, you know, when you're doing any kind of explosive movement or you're doing any, you know, kind of distance event, you need glucose. Your brain relies on glucose to think clearly and to keep going. And so, you know, the high protein is really a myth, and I thought that that was actually well stated with a couple of the graphs that he pointed out. You know, I think that they also looked at, you know, people always talk about, well, protein from carbohydrates or protein from starches is not absorbed as well as protein from meat. And that's, you know, been proved over and over by, you know, basic science studies to be rubbish. Proteins broken down into amino acids, and those amino acids are absorbed and used to build the proteins that your body needs to have built. So, you know, it doesn't really matter where the amino acids come from. It all comes out the same. And in reality, you know, not all amino acids are equally healthy. Amino acids that have sulfur groups, such as methionine, actually are more risky for cancer. And, you know, it's also in the package that things are kept in. When you eat meat, animal protein, you're not just getting protein. You're getting fat, saturated fat, and cholesterol in that package. You're also getting a lot of hormones and growth factors, insulin-like growth factor. And that's the difference between plant protein and animal protein, is that these growth factors are going to stimulate bad things to start. So inflammation, inflammatory factors, and growth of things that we as adults don't want to grow, such as tumor cells. So, you know, even if you look at an egg, you know, everybody thinks eggs are a great food. And, you know, we see in the Rocky movie where he takes those eggs and puts them in the glass and drinks them. And it's like, yeah, there are a lot of minerals and vitamins in eggs. There's zinc and all these other kind of great things. And there's protein in eggs, but there's also saturated fat and cholesterol and anything else that the chicken was exposed to. So you don't, you know, it comes with a package. So there are some good things, but you have the toxins in the package. And over time, what do you do with the toxins that are left over? Same way with fish. They're packaged, you know, with PCBs and dioxins and mercury, as well as cholesterol and saturated fat. So the idea as an athlete is to get enough nutrients that build muscle and provide energy and decrease inflammation without having a lot of toxic metabolic waste hooked onto it that you have to do something with. So, you know, again, I saw somebody at the movie that was a big muscular guy, but he had this giant belly, you know, and so how does that serve him? Your heart has to pump to that big belly. You know, the bigger you are, the more your heart has to pump to all those different places. It puts stress on the body, you know, the leaner you can be, no matter what size you are, is best. So I think that was, you know, really well demonstrated. I think it was demonstrated good that, you know, okay, you can eat this stuff and you can eat a lot of food. Big guys like to eat a lot of food. It was directed at them and, you know, it tastes good and it's not just lettuce. But in some respects, the only thing that I didn't like about all that was it was a little bit like Weight Watchers that, you know, hey, you can have pizza and you can have all these great things, come over to our side. But the reality of it is the average person, you know, can't eat these big, huge, calorie-dense meals that the football players were eating. And, you know, and they were eating without regards to oils. And, you know, they were eating a lot of, you know, some of the transition meats, so to speak. And, you know, the sauces that were very calorie dense and high oil. So it's, you know, come on over, this stuff tastes good, and then we'll rein it in once you get here. And, you know, it depends on where you are. You know, a young person obviously is going to tolerate more metabolic excess and waste than an older person, but somebody trying to lose weight can't come over here and eat all those, you know, good high-calorie vegan foods. They're going to be in trouble. And if you have high blood pressure eating or inflammation, eating a lot of oil and, you know, the high calorie dense things aren't really going to serve you, in the end. So, you know, it was a great introduction, and a great way to say, you know, hey, you can get plenty of food. You're going to get plenty of nutrients. You're going to get plenty of macronutrients as well as in extra micronutrients. The antioxidants are going to decrease inflammation, allow you to work out harder, longer, and recover faster without the risk of bad things happening. And, you know, the arthritis and inflammation in the joints that ultimately end careers of athletes. We talked about the Game Changers in class today, and there were some positive responses. You know, some spouses actually saw the movie and, you know, decided it'd be worth a shot. So I think it really got to some people that, hey, this is not so bad, and, you know, if I can live healthier with less inflammation, it would be good. I know it hit home with regard to the erectile dysfunction and manliness and vasodilatation, you know, with the nitric oxide producing food. So that in itself, I think, sold some people, or at least made them think, you know, with the vasoconstriction after oil and fatty foods, that needs to make you think as well, that you're, you know, really hurting yourself every time you put something in your mouth. Every meal you get injured. So a lot of people had some positive responses on that. You know, when we talked about where do you go from here, you know, what do you do? It was interesting in the population that I have as members, you know, it wasn't the group that they were inspired to, you know, increase their athletic endeavors at all. And I don't think the movie was necessarily, you know, to do that. I think that, you know, maybe there was some, you know, people noticed that, you know, hey, these people had more energy, you know, even in older ages, you know, they were recovering faster. So, you know, there's hope that, you know, you can do more longer. But I don't think that was really the message. I would, you know, kind of like to see that maybe in a, some sort of sequel where they, you know, look at older athletes and see how they're doing over time. Or let's see, you know, compare some of these football players that are plant-based over time versus their counterparts. But I think it kind of, you have to look at where you are and where it meets you. James Cameron did a the outtake at the end where, you know, he kind of gave a little 20-minute primer on how to become plant-based and substitute things in, and then they would cut to the athletes. You know, I think that was helpful for anybody that was not plant-based that was thinking about it, because it, right there when they were hooked, he gave them some ideas to try rather than to go home and say, I'd like to do this, but I don't know where to start. You know, certainly if you're one of these people that, you know, want to be plant-based and you don't know where to start, come over to our website. We can help you out with a nutrition consult, or if you're on medicine and you want to get off of them, we can certainly help you there. So you can walk on over to drdelaney.com to check things out, because that's really what we do for a living, is take these lifestyle diseases and help people get back to their optimal health and wellness. But if you're still eating animal products, maybe the movie, you know, or just get you to do a meat-free day, or add more plants into your nutrition, and then gradually you force out the meats. But I think you have to do it consciously. Just saying that you're going to eat a little bit more salad, or you're going to eat less red meat, I think that's pretty much very noncommittal. So I think you have to go into it a little bit deeper than that. So if you've realized that this is what you want to do, then, you know, make some verbal commitments that you're going to phase things out over time. I think that the movie was good if you're, you know, cook for yourself. There were some great ideas of recipes there. You know, there's a lot of recipes online, and, you know, again, we just happen to have a cookbook, plant-based wellness cookbook. So if you're new to all this, go over on Amazon and check us out. The plant-based wellness cooking, three generations, the doctor, the dietitian, and the diva. So we have lots of food for everybody, and lots of recipes for everybody to try that they'll like, that are things that people recognize. I think you need to start there. With the simple foods, you know, we all grew up eating meat, a starch, and a vegetable. So you take your starch and your vegetable and you add some beans and another vegetable to that, and you're pretty much good to go. If you see a regular recipe, you can convert it to being plant-based by, again, taking the meat out, substituting beans in, or tofu, or tempeh, taking the beef or chicken stock out, taking the butter out. It doesn't hurt any recipe to get rid of that stuff, and you've already eliminated a tremendous amount of calories. So I think that's really good. If you're already plant-based and you're kind of eating like they did on the show, then maybe it's time that you up your nutrition and start to get more greens, more fruit, more raw in. You know, if you can get half your day, 50% of your calories in raw, you get a lot more nutrients and you know, enzymes in these living foods than after you've cooked them and lost some of their nutrients and antioxidants. Certainly there are foods like tomatoes where you actually enhance the absorption of foods with cooking. There was a study done this week that looked at leucopene. And, you know, if they said hold the meatballs if you have spaghetti and meatballs, because actually when you have heme iron in the with tomatoes or things that contain leucopene, it's not absorbed and it's you don't get any of the benefits or very little of the benefits you know, from some of these great vegetables. So it's not just about adding more vegetables in. It's about taking some of the bad stuff out. Non-heme iron, you know, that comes from greens and beans and grains is perfectly safe. Your body doesn't absorb it unless you actually need the iron. So there's not this overabsorption of iron that you store in your liver and your brain and in your heart that becomes inflammatory. you know, getting rid of estrogen not only gets rid of the estrogen load that nobody else, you know, nobody needs, but you get rid of all these extra growth factors. So when you switch to soy or a nut-based milk, then you're getting rid of these dangerous growth factors. So that's all helpful. So those are really, you know, ways to up your nutrition. You know, I keep coming back. You have to not, a blind eye to things that you can't see the dairy in or you can't see the eggs in, you know, pastries and products that contain milk and eggs. You know, it's pretty easy to see those labels. If you're past week one of being plant-based, you need to look in the last line of the ingredients list and you're going to see contains milk, contains eggs. That's the last line, and they have to bold it. The oils are a little bit harder to find. You have to look in the ingredients, and it's scattered out through there. And people can be fooled because things may have a lot of nuts in them and not specifically oils, but that can translate into a problem with people with the high cholesterol. So, I think it's a good time just to say, hey, you know, we're going to not turn a blind eye to, you know, that deli cake. It has oil and eggs in it. There's going to be butter in that Cracker Barrel vegetable plate. So, you know, it's just not acceptable. But I think all in all, the message was good, and it's going to continue to grow that you don't need animal products to be a good athlete. And you'll probably be a more durable athlete and a better recovering athlete if you ditch the animal products and ditch the dairy and start eating plant-based. So that'll be great. And I hope that, you know, some of the colleges will start to pick up and do some more studies on this. Let's look at athletic teams that are winning and pay more attention on our athletic teams to the nutrition as opposed to just feeding people calories. There's always a tremendous controversy around fruit. People think, isn't there too much sugar in fruit? Should I stay away from fruit? Will my triglycerides go up? What's the glycemic index? You know, how close is this particular fruit to sugar as far as the absorption? Fruit has fructose. Is that the same as high fructose corn syrup? Does fruit sugar stimulate the growth of cancer cells? Because we know that if there's a tumor that is growing rapidly, it takes up sugar. But everything in our body takes up sugar. That's what our cells do. They just happen to be turning over quicker, so there's a differential in the ability to take up sugar. And they also take up fat. That just because something on a biochemical level may seem worse doesn't mean in actuality that it results in a harmful effect. And I think the EPIC study that was done is really good as far as, you know, a comeback to people say, what about fruit? 285,526 women aged 25 to 70, they followed them for 6 years, and then, you know, with questionnaires and dietary histories, and then again in 2002, they followed them again, and they found out that there was a decrease in cancer if they ate, you know, a diet high in fruits and vegetables. And it didn't really matter, you know, what the fruit was or the vegetables, but, you know, the more the better. When we've looked at studies with diabetes, actually there's no study that shows more fruit is harmful, and actually people do better, even up to 17 pieces of fruit. Diabetics have actually been shown to reverse their diabetes, decrease their insulin requirement. The problem the diabetics have with fruit is if they consume fat with it. So peanuts and an apple is going to make the glucose rise because the fat in the peanuts are going to inhibit the uptake of the glucose. So people blame the fruit, but they don't look and see what else was in the diet that day. And it could be the peanuts or the oil early in the day or in the salad. And again, they go back and blame the fruit. You know, people blame grapes all the time for weight gain. And the reality of it is if you do the test on yourself, you know, eat grapes all day long. You know, eat grapes for 2 days straight. See if you can eat enough grapes to gain weight. It's not going to cost you to gain weight. You're going to lose weight. It's the other stuff that people eat. It's the refined carbohydrates, the flours, the bread products that really are driving, some of the spikes in glucose in the presence of, you know, a high-calorie diet in diabetics that just can't absorb very quickly. but there's enough fiber in fruits that it really delays the uptake of the glucose. So there's not a, it, you know, it, it delays the breakdown so that the glucose doesn't really spike because of them. So that's not, you know, and it's such a clean burning fuel when there's so many antioxidants and phytonutrients for recovery. I still stand by that fruit's a great food. I do a tremendous amount of fruit in the morning for breakfast. I have a piece of fruit after lunch. I have fruit in the evening. I'm taking grape. I'm actually taking grape juice as a hydration. It's like, oh, that's juice. I thought we weren't supposed to use juice. But again, I'm looking for quick calories, something that I can absorb really quickly during, an athletic event. People that are doing an endurance event are burning off the glucose fast. So I want to burn off without any kind of leftovers. And so I have some antioxidants, but there's no toxic metabolites as I burn that fructose off and the glucose off while I'm on the bike. I will caution people about, you know, when we talk about refined sugars, people always go to table sugar or white sugar, and they say, well, coconut sugar. Well, coconut sugar is just the sap of the coconut tree, just like maple syrup is the sap of the maple tree. They're absorbed readily. They're simple sugars. There's no fiber involved. They're not health foods. Substituting one for another or putting maple syrup in your oatmeal instead of sugar is not really doing you any favors at all. There's very little antioxidants that are going to affect things. So try to use the fruit as your sweeteners because, again, it's going to give you some fiber. There's about 1 gram or 2 grams of fiber per cup of fruit, along with the antioxidants, along with the hydration that you get with the fruits, a much better sweetener source. So researchers have identified a protein called WNT5A that is associated with the toxic effect that fat has on blood vessels. And it turns out that fat cells around blood vessels that secrete this particular protein causes more problems, with regard to stimulating atherosclerosis. Now, we also know that people that are overweight have diabetes and sleep apnea and hypertension that also contribute to cardiovascular disease. But, you know, this abnormal protein is supposed to actually accelerate the fat around the blood vessels or speed up the plaque. It's supposed to accelerate the plaque buildup in the arteries when this particular protein is released. And, you know, the author said, well, you know, this is great because now we can target a drug to either block the uptake of this protein or block the production of this protein. We need to get back to the basics and say, well, if we don't have excessive fat cells, then we don't have to worry about the protein being excreted. Because when we come up with a medication and we target one abnormal protein or we target a receptor, there's always side effects downstream that we end up causing a problem with. You know, we keep putting our head in the sand when it comes to being overweight and not wanting to actually confront people on, you know, what is causing the problem and all these metabolic issues. It's the food. It's what we find socially acceptable. It's everything that's out there. And, you know, the more we become vocal about, you know, this is just not acceptable. You know, I'm really sad that Rudy, you know, the guy that from the football movie, you know, Rudy, you know, he was a trier and he was a little guy that, you know, finally made a difference at Notre Dame football. Now he's a fat guy and he's, you know, his goal in life is to be Colonel Sanders. And, you know, that's so fat, so sad that we take, you know, a hero, you know, a football movie hero and turn him into the fat guy that wants to be Colonel Sanders selling chicken to fat people and making people unhealthy. That's really a sad thing that we can identify with those kind of people. And I hope, again, that the game changers come out and say, okay, you know, it's cool to be lean. It's cool to be eat plants and You know, it's not about how much we can put in, but it's how lean and healthy we can be. And that's really, you know, just take it back to Popeye, you know, the sailor man, when he was eating his greens and he was lean and he took in, you know, despite being a little guy, he took out Brutus. That's the thing that we should be, you know, trying to have our kids identify with, that the, you know, the lean, agile person is actually the guy that does well, not the guy that is over-consuming everything that he comes in contact with. There's another study that came out this week that looked at a medication that's a SGLT2 inhibitor, which basically means that it causes the kidneys to release more glucose. It's for diabetics. There are three medications in this class of drug. In 2018, one of the drugs brought in $1.39 billion, and now the drug is actually looking to get a fast-paced FDA approval for heart failure because there was a study done. And granted, this is a pretty remarkable study that looked at giving patients this medication and seeing whether or not they had less heart failure, less hospitalizations for heart failure, and less death from cardiovascular disease, or less deaths, I'm sorry, from heart failure. So they had 4,774 patients with heart failure and a decreased ejection fraction. That means a decreased ability of the heart to eject blood with each beat. They randomized them to the medication or placebo. All the patients got the standard heart failure medications that we typically give people. And at about 18 months, the medication group had 16.3 endpoints of heart failure or hospitalizations for heart failure deaths versus 21.2% in the placebo group. So it's like, wow, it's a 5% reduction in all those events. If you looked at the heart failure, it was about 3 to 4%, and there were 227 patients that died in the medication group versus 273 patients that died in the placebo group. So it's like, well, you know, we saved you know, upwards of 50 people in 18-month follow-up. So you know, this drug should be given to all people that have a decreased heart function with or without diabetes, and that's really what the drug company's after. There were 7.5% adverse events. Total number was 178 versus 168 in the placebo group. Remember, the placebo group got a bunch of medications as well. But there was also, you know, these weren't necessarily benign. Some of the side effects include the potential to worsen bladder cancer. So if the bladder is a concern, then it shouldn't be used. If people have poor kidney function, which a lot of people with heart failure do, it can make their kidney function worse. It's contraindicated in people with on dialysis. There's a potential to actually raise cholesterol. So again, we know in 18 months, this medication has some benefits, but there are no long-term studies on this. You know, the FDA, when they get something rapidly released, drug company, the idea is now to follow up and do mortality studies to see if this actually, you know, starts to prove out in long-term studies. Because it enhances the excretion of glucose and fluids, it's basically how it helps heart failure. People's blood pressure can drop. They can get volume contracted or hypotension. There's a potential for these people to go into ketoacidosis because of, again, losing pH changes. If you can't eat and you take this medication and you lose glucose. And then there's a really bad one called central infectious necrotizing fasciitis of the perineum, which basically is a gangrene, you know, of the groin area that can be life-threatening. It doesn't occur often, but it doesn't have to if it's you, so that's a pretty scary thing. And then there's it's metabolized by the liver, so we don't know If people are on 9 or 10 or 15 drugs, some of which are metabolized by the liver, including statins, and you know, including some antibiotics, what could happen? The alternative, I guess, would be to reverse diabetes and to prevent these complications in the first place. The alternative would be to treat people that have reduced ejection fractions and really educate them in sodium reduction and in oil reduction so that we could prevent hospitalizations. And that's really, really important. And our patients that have reduced heart function, when we actually get their sodium down to less than 1,500 milligrams a day, because vegetables and fruit have 800 milligrams of salt in them, then all of a sudden they don't need their diuretic, and we can take those diuretics off almost immediately. It's not easy. They'll tell you that, you know, there's salt hidden in everything. There's, you know, if you buy a can of anything, it has salt for the most part. There's some newer products coming out that are very low. But, you know, even, you know, if you pick a mustard, it could range from 50 to 110 milligrams of sodium. You have to watch the serving size. So we, you know, we don't want people to get, you know, any kind of jarred pasta sauce because of the oil and the sodium. So it's a big education. But it's well worth it, because most of the time when we take away this oil and sodium, patients' kidney function gets better. They breathe better. They need less medications. They feel better. You know, a lot of these medications make people very. They stand up. They get dizzy. They don't have any energy. Their heart rate is blocked. So if you can, you know, change this with diet, it's so much better. And to have people not to have to take, because people take these medications on an intermittent basis. They looked at standard cardiac medications after a bypass, which are these medications that are used in this drug. We call them ACE inhibitors. And they make it easier for the heart to function. Beta blockers, they decrease the adrenaline, the response of the reaction of the heart to adrenaline. You know, they decrease heart rate, they decrease blood pressure. Of course, in the diuretics, keep fluid off of people. When they look over time, you know, 5 years out from a bypass, about 70% of people are still taking the medications, not because they've been removed, but because they just don't like it or they've had side effects to them. Sometimes people take them haphazardly. They take two on one day, one on the next, you know, so it's all over the place. So it's very hard to titrate. The idea, the opposite is so much better, is just to change their nutrition so they don't need the medications. Get more blood flow to the heart, get the heart pumping to blood vessels that are open. Guess what? It's a lot easier for the heart to function. And if somebody has a mild to moderate reduction in heart function, if we can titrate their nutrition so that they're getting lots of greens for vasodilation, and we're decreasing the sodium in their diet, so the volume is decreased that they're retaining, we can get people off a lot of medications, and they feel really good, and they can do whatever they want despite not having a perfect heart. It's like not having a perfect X-ray. You know, your X-ray may be ugly of your bones, but if there's no inflammation and it doesn't hurt and you can do what you want, so what? It's like, yeah, this is a great thing. So for, you know, people out there that don't want to change their diet and continue to have heart failure, then this might offer them a little reprieve and add on to their donut hole, because it's going to be an expensive medication. But for people that don't want to take medications, there is an alternative. So I think that, you know, that you just, we just have to look at all this, that there is, you know, people need to know that there is an alternative to taking a lot of these medications, and just to settle that I have diabetes for the rest of my life, or I have high blood pressure for the rest of my life, is not, it's not a necessary thing. And I think the other thing that, you know, keeps coming up is, people can't believe that they can get back and become healthy. They've been sick and felt bad or been overweight so long that they don't think that they'll ever, they can't imagine themselves like they once were. And, I think that's, that's just not true, but it's the story we tell ourselves, and it makes it easy not to push forward. But I think you have to, you know, keep your eye on the prize and where you want to be, because it's definitely positive. We're, possible. We're seeing it all the time. and people getting, you know, getting back to the weight that they never thought they could get back to, getting the energy restored that they didn't think they could, doing different events that they didn't think they could. I'd like to do a shout out to Megan Finn. She has emailed me in the past several times. She emailed me recently to say that she watched the Game Changers. And since they worked out, or since they watched the Game Changers, they've been working, her and her kids have been working out more seriously. She also formed a group that cooks with some of her friends called Chickpea, because it's some women that get together and cook together. I think that's a great idea. That, you know, if you went to the Game Changer movie, or if you've watched or could get your friends to watch What the Health or Forks Over Knives and get together and do a cooking group, that's great. We have people in our practice that get together and do recipes. We have people that have used our cookbook to get together and do recipes. So you can also go over to our website and sign up for our newsletter, and you can get 5 free recipes there. But if you get our newsletter every month, we throw up a recipe that, you know, you can cook with your friends, and you can can get a bunch of go-tos. And we call go-tos meaning things that you like. You know, you may not like everything that we cook, but you might find some that you really like that makes it easy for you. Today in class, we did a really easy recipe with lentil fritters that was basically soaked lentils put in a food processor with some cilantro and ginger. And, you could use onion or leek with that, and just made them into patties, put a little pepper, was the only other seasoning, and baked those, and they were great. We did a hot tomato sauce with them, but you could, you know, do a variety of other things, or crumble them up and put them on a salad, take them in lunches, you know, they keep well. So, just simple things like that can make your life really easy. Again, they pack a pretty good punch of protein in them since they're made all of lentils. So, get over there and sign up for our newsletter and check it out. The last thing that I'll say is we are live on our website, drdelaney.com. You can go there and get your tickets for the one-day conference, March 28th. For our nutrition conference that'll be here in Port Charlotte. We'll have breakfast and lunch and question and answer and cooking demonstrations. Karen Hartglass is going to be down with us, and Pam Popper to do the conference. It's going to be a great thing. But new this year is an immersion program that we're going to tack on to it. So you can come on in on the Sunday before. You can meet Gretchen the dog, who barks in the background. Now, but she might, because what we're going to do is we have a very limited number of, it's going to be a private, for the most part, immersion week. So we're going to limit it to 7 people that we give our utmost attention to. We're going to meet you in the morning for exercise every morning and show you around our beautiful town. And do some runs at the sun. It's a runs and walk as the sun's come up around Charlotte Harbor. We'll have lectures and cooking demonstrations every day. More exercise and different opportunities to be outside in the afternoon, and great breakfast, lunch, and dinner to serve people so that we can consult with you in the beginning of the week, and at the end of the week we'll consult with you again and see your progress and give you a game plan to take away. So it's not just to come here and do a week and then go off and, you know, whatever happens. This is a week to really get your health started. We'll go over your medications, if you're on medication, see what we can, you know, work to get you off of. We'll go over any blood work or anything that anybody has a concern over, and consult with you. Both Addie and I will do private consultations, and then we'll do again another consultation at the end of the week. So this is if you're really, really serious about getting healthy and you really want to change things around and you'd like to be in a nice environment and then finish it up on Saturday with a great conference that's really motivational, then we'd love to have you. So that's up. You can go over there and click and make your reservation. Again, we're limiting it to 7 people, so it's going to fill up pretty quick. So reserve your spot. The conference tickets, the conference, we also reserve, limit that seating too. So it's about 100, 125 people. So get your tickets before they sell out, in the spring, everything starts to go quick. So without bothering you anymore, I'm going to sign off for this week. I'm going to continue my taper. The last thing that I'll tell you, I've been growing some great microgreens. I got great broccoli and pea sprouts going, so I'm going to try to get a big batch of those to take with me along with my beets. I'll be taking my Mama Says Beet Strong beets with ginger with me. So if you're somebody that says, you know, I really want to do this, but I don't want to cook, you know, there's so many different additives and goop in these processed foods and things that you order and meals that you get at the grocery store. Head over onto Mama Says. It's mamasezz.com. There's a link on our website as well. And you can get some food there. You can pick out, you know, the ingredients. You can do my athletic bundle. You can do a no salt oil free bundle and get some really good food that you have, you know, to have for the nights that you don't want to cook or supplement or even use for lunches at work. So get your athletic bundle and have a great week. And I will check in the next time, probably next Monday or Tuesday, with my report of Ironman Chattanooga. So take care, be well, swim, bike, and run long.